easier.
What is your background, Neonu? Where did you grew up in New Jersey, evidently. There's a lot of space in New Jersey, including there's inner city to, I assume, 100% white, upper class neighborhoods, the kind of thing. What was your experience? Obviously, at some point, you were at Oakwood Friends School, so you must have lived in a number of different communities. How did it go? What was your background? What was your experience?
Well, I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, inner city, Newark, New Jersey, very different Newark pre and post riots, which, unless you've kind of been in that area, you wouldn't really understand because Newark has such a specific reputation now, but it was very different before the riots. I grew up in my early life in a Baptist church, Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and, going to Sunday school on Sundays and to Baptist Training Union, BTU, and, it just felt like everyone was doing that in my neighborhood. It was primarily African American, acting as if everyone was heterosexual kind of culture. And around eighth grade, right before high school, one of my cousins found a church in Newark that was pastored by a white couple who really reached out to the young folks in the community. And it was a very different church. I mean, the thing that we would always say is, we're allowed to walk up on the pulpit. I mean, that was like, and there was, guitars, there were white kids, there were black kids, there was going out giving our testimonies on the corners of Newark. And it was an interdenominational church, and that really, had a great significance in being exposed to that particular world and the language of accepting Jesus as your personal savior, which was not. In the Baptist church, you were baptized and then you went on. But in this church, it was all like, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? So I was baptized again in that church after I accepted Christ as my Savior. I loved that church deeply and always believed that I would go back there and do the same sort of outreach to young people. And then I went off to college, to Oberlin, and I was exposed again to another dictate, which said that you had to speak in tongues before you were a real Christian. So, with some of the young adults that I was hanging with at that time, that was the thing. So, I started going to a church there and started trying to speak in tongues because I hadn't quite made it yet. And I was baptized once again in that setting, in that church. And there's a funny story that goes with that because, I was upstairs and the pastor was trying to get me to speak in tongues before I went down to get baptized. And he was like, well, say Jesus, 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 over and over and over again. And so I was just trying and what's wrong with me? How come I won't come? And so he sent me down and the women got ready to put the robe on me to go into the water. And I just fell out. I had never experienced anything like this before. I fell out. And I don't know what I was saying. And the women were saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. Because they wanted me to get in the water first. And so it was, I often think about that experience in terms of how the order that folks think things should happen in. And that was also a, it was a significant door for me into a certain type of understanding of mysticism and a part of African culture. So that's a little bit of the door. And when Dwight and I were engaged to be married, I always assumed that I would be married in the church back in Newark with the white pastor and his wife who had been missionaries in Kenya. And we were not allowed to be married there because Dwight had been married before. And it was beyond devastating to me. I mean, I must have cried for days. And so that was one of the, looking back now, it was also one of those curves in the road. 'Cause I don't know what might have happened if we were allowed to be married there. And I was marrying this Quaker who I'd never heard of Quakers before. It's a bit of that path.
The